I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern-day Asian-American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Mel.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of ABG. So today, we are going to have a bit of a throwback episode. It's no secret that Mel, Janet, and myself are 90s kids, two of us being 80s babies. And this past year or so, we've been seeing a very quick rise of 90s comeback fashion, especially amongst those who were born in the 2000s. It's been a bit strange to see bell bottoms and baggy pants, spaghetti straps, fanny packs, scrunchies, and bucket hats make a comeback. But instead of being, you know, weirded out by it, we thought it'd be fun to have an episode where we reminisce about the actual 90s trends that we lived through and grew up with. Because who knows, maybe some of the stuff we talk about in this episode will actually be coming back in the next year or so.
Yes, I think a majority of our listeners are also 90s kids, so a lot of you out there will likely be able to relate to what we talk about today. I'm very excited for this episode. It is going to be a fun walk down memory lane. For a bit of context, I was born in 1985, Helen was born in 1987, and Miss Mel, the baby, was born in 1991.
Yes, I am the baby of the group, so I was definitely a 90s baby and a 90s, maybe slash early 2000 kid. And I'll start with something that I remember and love from the 90s, and that's music and TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And that pop culture. She's all up on the music and the shows.
I love pop culture. And speaking of pop, I actually really loved pop music from the 90s and early 2000s. Like, when I think of songs or artists, I automatically think of Britney Spears, Baby One More Time, Sometimes. And if y'all are a true Britney fan, you know the song Born to Make You Happy from her first album.
Yes.
I karaoke that all the time. And we also have the diva, Christina Aguilera's Come On Over, Genie in a Bottle. But I have a question. I know both of you guys also grew up with Christina and Britney. Mm-hmm. If you had to choose, are you a Britney or Christina fan?
Ooh. I mean, they fulfill different parts of my femininity.
But that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I would say I was a Britney fan first and then Christina second. Mm. But I was a bigger Britney fan by far. Probably like 60% Britney, 40 Christina. How about you, Jay?
That's a pretty good split. I would say probably 60-42. Yeah, I don't know. I think as like Britney just had something performance-wise. Like anytime she was on the TV to perform for a live show, I like had to watch it. Mm. Versus Christina, I just loved her voice. So I would it was more like when she came on the radio, I was excited. Yeah. But Britney, I just loved watching perform. So I feel like if I had to choose one, but once again, I feel like Christina's vocals are like really, really, they're spectacular. Yeah. Right? It's hard. There are very few people who can sing like that.
Yeah. I still listen to her Christmas album like every year.
Oh, really?
Christina's, yes. Mm-hmm. And I recently, this past Christmas, I had Philip listen to it as we were on our drive up to the Bay to visit his parents. And he was just like, yo, this girl is so extra with these Christmas songs. It's like chestnuts.
Speaking of Christina, have you guys ever tried to sing her growl? Like, I was like, you know, she has that growl.
Oh. Do it, Mel, do it.
Uh-oh.
I thought you brought the fart.
I'm not sure where the sound is coming out of your body.
I'm literally trying to figure out where she growls. Like, she goes, I can't even do it.
Girl, just do it. Stop thinking.
Sorry, I was trying to think of her song, but I'm trying to think of a growl. I honestly thought, this is so off topic, but I honestly think of Fergie singing the national anthem. Because she was trying to growl, and it did not sound very good. You know what I'm saying, though, right? I always mock, so, sorry, Fergie, but when she sings the national anthem, I'm like, I think she's trying to sound like Christina, but does not sound very good. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Okay, girl, you gonna growl or what?
Oh! Is that a howl? No. I don't know.
Michelle, let's take that out.
Let's not take that out.
That sounded like a howl. Okay, so obviously
this episode's going well.
No, it's like a chest growl.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. See, that was more it. That was a growl. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You know what? You brought it up.
You try growling.
I will later.
This is so stupid. What the hell are we talking about?
Okay. Anyway.
Sorry, I want to share three more artists that I really love during this time. But I actually was a huge Mandy Moore fan.
Oh.
She's, for me, screams classic 90s. Like, She's actually also my first performer I saw live in concert when I was 10 years old for free at Great America in Northern California. And, you know, this is during her era when she's saying, like, Candy and Walk Me Home.
Walk Me Home?
Walk Me Home is such a good song. It's, I was listening to it last time. No, it was before the movie. So it was really, she had another album. So it's in the Candy album, but
yeah.
Mandy Moore is good. Jessica Simpson, I Think I'm in Love.
Oh yeah, that's a classic.
Yes. Yes, that one. And lastly, y'all can't talk about the 90s without the iconic girl group, Spice Girls.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Dude.
That was my jam.
Yes, I actually watched all their movies.
Yes.
I think the Spice Girls were one of my first CDs.
Yeah. I still have my Spice World CD at home.
Yeah.
Britney's was my first CD, I think. The one with the pink cover and her,
cute. I think at the time I only liked three CDs. One of them was Spice Girls, one was Britney, and then strangely enough, one was Tatiana Ali.
Oh,
I know not a lot of people know her, but I really loved her music, yeah.
Sorry, as you're speaking, like, all these memories are flooding back in, but do you guys listen to J-Lo too? Like, her Waiting for Tonight album whatever?
Oh, yeah.
That music video's...
Yeah.
Structure.
Yeah. But those are some of the music I listen to. How about you two?
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, for me, I feel like the 90s music is still the best. Mm-hmm. When you compare it to different genres of music that have become popular since the 90s, like EDM, I never really got into. Mumble rap, I don't know. I just feel like 90s music is, obviously, everyone has their own personal preferences and music tastes, but 90s was this like intense rise of teeny boppers, all three of us, and it was just like, it was like a wild time. There was just so much like concentrated energy on albums and music videos coming out, and the desire to learn all the lyrics from your favorite artists and albums, and learning the dance moves, and the hype of like running home after school to watch Total Request Live with Carson Daly.
Yes.
Like, that was consistent every day after school for me. And it was maybe like the most intensity and connection with music that I've ever had, and maybe is no longer there because of the ease of access to music and artists and just how fast things travel and rotate out on the internet nowadays. So for me, it wasn't like just like the music, it was the experience that was so great growing up in the 90s that probably added to why 90s like music and pop culture was so amazing back then.
That's an incredible observation. Yeah, TRL, I guess that was a time when music was so visual as well. Mm-hmm. And there was a more distinct separation between listener and performers. Mm-hmm. So you were so like, now they feel a little bit more easily accessible through social media and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of my old VHS tapes, like family videos, I over-recorded with Britney Spears videos so I could learn her dance moves. And my mom was just like, what the heck is this? I'm just trying to learn dance moves sometimes. But yeah, like Mel, my favorite groups were NSYNC over Backstreet Boys for me.
Oh, agreed. Same.
I thought we were not on the same page here.
No, it's weird. I know Backstreet Boys are touring more often than NSYNC, but I actually way prefer. I prefer NSYNC for some reason.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's kind of like Britney and Christina.
Yes.
They definitely came first for me, NSYNC.
Yes. I think it's because they're better performers, in my opinion.
Oh.
Better stage presence, better total package of dancing and singing.
Mm. Yes. NSYNC, Spice Girls, Britney, Christina, and Mariah.
Yes. Oh, my God. Mariah Carey is always on my list. I don't care if she looks half drunk all the time.
She's
still unmatched.
Yes. But like also the 90s hip hop and R&B scene is still the best music to vibe and play at parties today. Like Usher, Aaliyah, Babyface, Casey Jojo, SWV. And even just like saying their names brings up just nostalgia.
Oh, yeah.
Like my wedding playlist for whenever that happens is, as you ladies know, mostly all 90s R&B music.
I think we can all agree. I don't know about you two, but your first slow dance had to be a Casey and JoJo song.
I don't remember what it was, but it probably was.
Yeah. All My Life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually don't. It was either that or Savage Garden.
Oh, Savage Garden. Such a classic.
Mel, you highlighted the pop music, which is very much all of those bands and all those individual singers have distinct memories for me. And Helen, the TRL. Oh my God, that was my... Every day after middle school, high school, I would go home, open up a can of Coca-Cola, pop some popcorn, and watch TRL. I don't know why that was my thing, but
dang.
But it was like a ritual.
Yeah.
And then you also covered the 90s R&B. All of that I feel like was very distinct for me in the 90s. But a category that I didn't know if you ladies would highlight, so I thought I would bring in for any of our kids out there who were little emo kids or a little bit alternative. In the early 90s, when I was still maybe in like elementary school, I have memories of listening to cassette tapes with my girlfriends in our garages trying to choreograph dances to like Hanson's Bop to Ace of Base, All That She Wants, to Spice Girls, to No Doubt. Like there was a lot of, I think I grew up in Orange County, so it was a combination of pop music and then a little bit of like grungy alternative music. And I still remember I think I've been in like two elementary school talent shows where it was like with a group of girls and we like made up dances by ourselves in the garage. So for any of the older 90s kids out there, you might kind of resonate with some of those bands and those artists. But I also was kind of later in high school, I did enjoy the pop and I did enjoy the R&B, but I also had a little bit of flair for the alternative music. So for me, like a really distinct artist from the 90s is Fiona Apple. I don't know if either of you ladies remember her.
Yeah.
Mel's looking at me confused. She's like, who the fuck is this one?
Yeah.
Maybe a little older, but she was this very kind of like a darker artist. And probably if you think of like Alanis Morissette was one that really had an impact in the 90s for being this like breaking the female stereotype of being an artist who was not like sexy and pop, right? Fiona Apple was kind of like that little darker. I actually choreographed a dance piece and competed in dances with her. So I really resonated with her music. I also loved a classic was Natalie Imbruglia's Torn. That one you'll resonate with more pop.
Yeah.
She was kind of a little bit of a one-hit wonder, but I loved that song. And then Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charmed Kind of Life. That's one that comes up on our playlist that I don't know if anyone remembers, but those were some of the more like alternative music pieces from the 90s that I remember really, really resonating as a kid who was, you know, teenagers are a little angsty, so...
I could totally see Janet being like a Avril Lavigne, like Ellis. What's her name?
Alanis Morissette. Yeah, Avril Lavigne was a little bit. I aged out of her a bit. But
she was my era.
Yeah, she's your. But the Fiona Apple and Alanis Morissette are definitely kind of in the same vein.
Yeah.
I did resonate with their music. But how about TV shows? Did you ladies watch TV shows in the 90s? Like, what do you recall?
It's really funny because I was preparing for this episode last night and I was like, speaking of shows, I went back to watch a show that I used to watch growing up a lot, and that was Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I remember that.
I loved it, and I especially loved back in the day. I think it's because, like, you both mentioned earlier, like, our artists and our celebrities back then felt like kind of further removed. Mm-hmm. So whenever they did crossovers, I'd freak the F out. So there was an episode on Sabrina when Britney Spears, when she was doing her Drive Me Crazy like promotion, she was on an episode of Sabrina and I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
The worlds are colliding and it's freaking insane. Yeah. And also, you know, if you guys love those 90s rom-com movies, Melissa Joan Hart was in a movie called Drive Me Crazy. With the song for that movie, it was obviously with Britney Spears. So Sabrina Teenage Witch was up there for me. I actually also liked reality shows when I was really young. So I don't know if you remember, but Pop Stars, it's like reality show to find the next girl group. It's kind of like Making the Band. That was a huge thing back in the day. But I was really into Pop Stars, and that's where they found Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh,
so Eden's crush. I don't know if y'all remember this, but maybe it's actually, it might be 2000s. But Pop Stars is one big thing. Also Making the Band, like I love O-Town. Like
I watched that.
Oh man, I remember.
I loved Ashley, and I remember back then I was like, oh, I didn't know it was a you know, a male and female name. Other ones are like Sister Sister, mm-hmm. Family Matters. Mm. I watched a lot of Sailor Moon elementary school. So in the 90s, I was in elementary school. So I would rush back home and go on UPN. And then I watched Sailor Moon, and then Beast Wars would come on, and I would stop the TV because I did not want to watch that show. And the last show I'd watch is Friends. Mm-hmm. This is why I love Friends so much, because I watched it at a young age. I didn't understand half of it until now, but I could quote almost every episode, and I could find a reference for almost every episode, every scenario. So those are some of my shows.
I will say, I feel like Mel and Friends are like. I know when I think of Friends, I think Mel. Because right. you're constantly like quoting it and referencing it. And I'm like, damn, how do you remember that happened?
Yeah. I'd watch it every night. I bought all the seasons on DVD. Wow. So I would play it every night from season like 4 to 10. These are some of my shows. How about you both?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of TV shows, I'll just mention my favorite, but other than TRL, which is like every day after school kind of a thing. But my favorite to binge on was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Favorite TV show of the 90s. And I always think, like, I don't know if you ladies remember, but there was this one scene that I always replay whenever I want a good crying session.
Oh, I know.
And it's the one where Will's dad, Lou, leaves him. Yeah. And afterwards, Will's talking to James Avery, who plays Uncle Phil. And it's just, like, this incredibly emotional scene where he says to Uncle Phil, like, I'm going to get through college without him. I'm going to get married without him. And it escalates to him just saying, like, how come he don't want me, man?
Yeah.
And it's just like, ugh, like a dagger to the heart. It is so real and so raw. And like, I can't think of any other scenes on TV, like TV sitcom, where it was so like heartfelt and real and like deep in that way. And apparently during that scene, like Will's cap got knocked off by accident, and that wasn't part of the script, but it was just so real that they kept that moment in there.
Yeah.
So if you go back and watch it, you will see that moment happen. And honestly, one of the best shows out there. Every time I watch it, I'm just like, damn, this is like, this ages well. Mm. Like a lot of their content ages very well. Yeah.
That's a very classic scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Even when you're talking about it, I get emotional just hearing those lines.
Yeah. Mm. Just like, damn, he's such a good actor.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Will Smith fan to this day. He's actually someone that I've picked up again on following because him and his family and his kids are actually they are kind of talking a lot in the leading space of like spirituality and learning about cultures and all that kind of stuff. So I think they're fascinating as a family. Yeah.
Yeah. How about for you, Jay?
So I think probably some of our listeners and you ladies are familiar with Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That Topanga, Sean.
Topanga and Sean. But did you know that, so like while the Boy Meets World was running, just a few years before that, I was really into Wonder Years.
Okay,
Do you guys know Wonder Years?
I used to watch it, but I didn't get into it.
Okay, so Wonder Years, actually, the main character in Boy Meets World, his older brother is the main character in the Wonder Years. Mm. So it's Ben and Fred Savage. And I always thought that was so funny that like this in this family, and there are shows that are very similar. It's about a young boy and coming of age, right?
Yeah.
So I loved watching that dynamic, and that the Wonder Years was a little bit of an older version, and then the Boy Meets World is kind of like this modernized version. Mm-hmm. I also loved In Living Color. I don't know if you ladies remember that, but it's kind of like SNL, but it was a version where there were different actors on it. So like Jim Carrey was on In Living Color, all the Wayans brothers and their family. Mm-hmm. I loved watching. I resonated with In Living Color more than I did with SNL when I was growing up.
I actually watched Mad TV a lot.
Oh, Mad TV was the other one. Yeah. Because my cousins got into that. Mad TV and In Living Color, I think, were a little bit more, they were more racy than SNL.
They were. I liked Mad TV more than SNL. I was like, dang it, where'd the show go? How come SNL?
Right?
Yeah, why now is it? I love SNL.
Yeah. But in the 90s, I feel like there was like more comedy focused type stuff like that, like freeform comedy. And then a random one. Xena the Warrior Princess.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch that too.
So every weekend, my family and I would drive up to the like Roland Heights area to visit my grandparents and my cousins. And usually what would happen is the parents would drop us off at the grandparents' home, and then they would go run their errands. Mm. So it'd be me and my cousins like with my grandparents, and they lived in this kind of like senior living kind of situation. So there's not much for us to do. We would just sit there and watch TV. Mm. And always on like whatever the station was, the basic, I don't think they had cable. So we would always be watching like Xena the Warrior Princess was always on. So I don't know. I watched a lot of Xena the Warrior Princess growing up.
I need to add to this. As you're talking, maybe because I'm also younger, so these shows are really... I probably was like 5 when these shows were on, so I was watching like Barney.
Yeah.
But speaking of like comedy, I know this sounds so lame, but I used to watch Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That feels like more of a 2000s show.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Because nice? When I, the thing is, I was a freshman in high school in 2006. So, like, imagine, like, I'll start watching a lot of shows early 2000 because
We were probably in elementary school.
Sailor Moon's on my list. But Whose Line Is It Anyway? Does anyone else there is an Olsen Twins fan? Like, watch all their movies. Like, freaking love. Like, is it Two of a Kind? Maybe that's a movie, but they were like the epitome of like teenage, like living the teenage life. And I wanted to find that the cute boy. Like I had Passport to Paris, the movie.
Mm. I actually have memories of the Olsen Twins even before, like I had neighbor friends who were older than me. And this is when I was maybe like 8. So Mel, you probably were barely born. At that time, the Olsen Twins were only like maybe 7 and they already had like paid subscription clubs. I remember my neighbor like paid this like monthly fee and you would get like a box of stuff from the Olsen Twins. So one was like a signed autograph like thing or whatever. So
I read all their books. They had a mystery series for the younger and I would rent their movies from the library because they had like Olsen Twins Pizza Party and I'm just like, oh my god, I need to know what this pizza party. Like I would just watch their movies.
Yeah,
a cult favorite I want to add or two movies from the 90s or early 2000s that I think people still watch to this day is Clueless. It was a huge cult following. It's a classic film. And The Mask.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
With Jim Carrey and Cameron Diaz. Have to be like, those two.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Well, what about toys and games? For me, I remember, oh my gosh, Nintendo, Sega, and Tamagotchis definitely up there in my like daily gameplay. What about for you ladies?
Yeah, so I know like Nintendo and video games are really big. I was just not a very big video game person. Mm. I don't know, I never got into it. Although I did have like boy cousins, and my sister was a little bit of a tomboy, so I think we had like an N64, like one of the early versions, and then we never kind of continued with it. And I did play Mario Kart at my cousin's house like a couple of times. But for the most part, yeah, video games I was not very engaged in. Although around the 90s was when computers started, and I remember discovering computer games. And I never got, I'm not someone who at all understands the world of like video games now or like computer games, but during the early days, all of the like, you know, MS Paint and like all of the, even like the basic recorder functions, and then there are like super early video games. I remember there was this one with this like wizard, and you go through a castle setting and you try to get crystal balls. I don't know. But some of those like super old school 90s computer games I remember being really engaged with, but not really video games. I remember like when I would go to birthday parties, they would play Twister. Oh, do you ladies remember Twister?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to games like that, that are like not board games, but like more physical?
Well, I don't know, I think Twister is also the game you play where like you want to get close to somebody.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to touch anyone else. Yeah. Back then I did.
Maybe not in the times of COVID, but I don't know. I thought like some of those games were more like physical and active and fun.
Well, you know where Janet's mind is. I know.
It's funny because when I see Twister now, it's always like a sexual reference, like in a movie.
Yeah,
like a
teenage movie. I see. Okay. but some other games that stood out, or like toys that stood out to me, I don't know if you ladies remember like Nickelodeon Gak and like Silly Putty.
Oh yeah, Silly Putty. The green like slime.
Yeah. I was a really big like crafts and like that kind of stuff person, so I was always like Play-Dohs and Silly Putties and Gaks. I was always playing with those.
Gak.
And I also really loved like, I don't know if this is even popular in kids' toys now, but like Polly Pocket or like The Littlest Pet Shop, all those those types of things where they would do collection items creating like a miniature world in something. I loved those things when I was growing up. I don't know why, like the dollhouse. Yeah.
Shoot. So this is like maybe unrelated but related. What is that thing back in the day everyone collected in school? It's like the collectibles. They had the little heart-shaped logo. Those little, they're animals.
Beanie Babies?
Maybe Beanie Babies.
Oh, the Thai Beanie Babies.
Yeah, everyone would collect those. Remember that?
Yes. That was actually on my list too. And I actually distinctly remember only buying like two or three.
Yeah, I was like, that's a privilege thing.
I never bought it, but I remember everyone wanted
it. Yeah, that was a big thing though. And I remember some of the people at school would have like 50. And I was like, I don't know. I never got into collector item things.
Collected rocks.
Yeah. But how about you ladies?
Well, for me, I was a huge Nintendo 64 person. Mm-hmm. I had Mario Kart and I also had four controllers. I was gifted from my uncle because it was his console and he gifted to me. And it was like a huge part of my family gatherings because it was a game that everyone of all ages could play together. And so it was my brother. I would be playing with my aunts and uncles, and that was like really cool. Like, I'm hanging out with older people. So we play N64 all the time. Honestly, I got first place in almost a lot of them. So even the Rainbow Road thingy, that was hella long. So I played that a lot during the summer. Another thing for me that was really big was Game Boy. So Game Boy Color. I had a yellow one, and I was obsessed with Pokemon Gold. I freaking loved Pokemon growing up, and I'd always choose the water Pokemon, and I would spend hours playing my Game Boy, and I wanted to be all the gym leaders and hit that final round because Pokemon Gold was a new, I think it was an Indigo, like it was like a new town, and then they had the old Pokemon Red attached to it, so it was like a really cool game.
Did you get into Pokemon Go when that came out?
No, I just played the Pokemon, like the gold. It was like, I forgot, it was like a different era of Pokemon, like the second generation maybe. Another thing I played, maybe more so in 2000, early 2000, was The Sims.
Oh, okay.
I would spend hours building my house, getting them married, having kids. I'm just like, ooh, what are they doing under the bed? Because I didn't know as a kid, you know, like.
That's like a GTA when you go into like a dark area and then the car starts moving.
Oh, really? Well, okay, I never played that game. But other like, I guess like physical games, my own term of physical, I would play Bop It.
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay.
And when I used to hang out like the girls in my neighborhood or like with my girlfriends when I was like 10 years old, we'd do Skip It. You skip it and you had to count how many steps you could get.
I remember that thing was scary because
it might hit your ankle.
Yeah.
I remember trying to like hit my goal. And two more things in terms of like board games. So in elementary school, when it would rain during recess, you had to stay in, right? So some of the things we'd play is, you know, Mancala.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we had the conversation about Mancala. Yeah, we're talking about the other day.
Is it Moncala or Mancala?
Girl, I don't know.
Someone correct us. Yeah. Like find the proper pronunciation.
Yes. And the last two things I'd play was Life in Candyland. And for me, you know, I'm still a daydreamer, so Life was a really fun game for me to kind of predict what could happen in my future. So I really like those two board games. How about you, Helen?
Walk down memory lane. These are such great games. Okay, in terms of board games, I was just thinking, like, we played this game a lot called Dream Phone, I think. Did you play that game?
Yeah, I was looking at, like, I saw the ads for it yesterday.
You would call this guy on a card.
Oh, really?
And it's like, call Zach, call whoever. And they're like really good looking dudes on this card. But the board game was kind of like a mall setup. And I forget how you play. I just remember there's a pink phone and then you always call these boys on the card. And then they just go, hello, do you want to like go to the mall or something? Like, oh, yes, I do. So it's just so ridiculous. But my sister and I, my two cousins play that game a lot.
How do you win at this game?
I don't remember. Can you buy it and play? Zach? I would love to. I'm sure they probably need some Asian faces on those cards, though. But Zach. But yeah, thinking about these like older just like gaming systems. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I was talking to our video editor, Rachel. Hello, Rachel. Recently, and she is younger than us. I think she's in her early 20s. So about a decade of a difference from where we are. And somehow the topic of gaming systems like Sega Genesis came about. And I asked her if she ever had to blow a game to get it to work, which sounds so wrong now. But she said, she was like, I think I've heard about this before, but never had to do it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that makes me feel so old. Like, having to blow into a game in order to make it work sounds so sad now. But there was a time where literally you couldn't play a game because there was too much dust.
That's hilarious.
In the system, right? And blow like really hard to get the dust out. Yeah. Like,
do you also remember when your CD would get overheated? You had to take it out of CD-ROM, and cool it down?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Insane. Technological advancement is insane from when we were kids to now. I think we were talking about this recently too. It almost feels like there hasn't been too much change from when we were like teenagers to now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's because everything is just shrinking in size. Like everything is down to the microchip now. Yeah. Versus before, it was like you had large TVs and now it's just flat TVs. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, how much thinner can these TVs get? Right. But yeah, growing up, my cousin had a Nintendo system and Donkey Kong was our jam. We had to play every single level and get every freaking banana and find all the special letters so we could spell out Kong and get a free life. You remember this? Even if it meant like killing ourselves many times to get that one extra life by spelling out Kong. But we would play games till like 6 a.m. some nights. Mm-hmm. And we would play Yoshi Land and Mega Man 2. And then on the PlayStation, which my cousin also had, we played Parappa the Rapper with the Master Onion that made fun sounds. You like kick. You never like kick, punch. And we also played Crash Bandicoot a lot. No?
That sounds so much fun, though.
It is. I miss these nights like so much. And in my own house, I had a Sega, which was the only gaming system that I had. And I played Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yes. I remember that one.
Yes. Yeah. Almost like every night from what I remember. Like me and Annie, we were just so obsessed with that game. And I think that's the only game my parents bought for us so that we wouldn't be playing too many games. Because I actually don't remember any other Sega games that we played. But we were obsessed with Sonic and spent hundreds of hours playing these games, which, you know what, in hindsight, I'm like pretty happy that I had that experience as a kid, even though I'm sure in the moment we were just like, oh, wasting brain cells. But it's fun. Those are like good moments,
good memories.
Yeah. And then in high school I got into Call of Duty, but that's like way older.
Dang, Call of Duty.
Yo, I was pretty good at Call of Duty.
I'm just here thinking of the contrast of you sitting in front of Call of Duty and me playing this like Hocus Pocus wizard game in the like early 90s. Like the
it was the boyfriend influence.
I see.
Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And each bottle can be made up of more than 90% water. Well, stop wasting water and throwing out more plastic. Get Blue Land's revolutionary refill cleaning system instead. Blue Land was founded on the belief that a cleaner planet starts at home. It's very simple. Buy the bottle once and refill it many, many times with no more plastic waste. I've never seen anything like this. Basically, you get these super cute, beautifully colored bottles, which you fill with warm water, and you just have to pop in one of the hand soap or spray cleaner tablets, and within seconds, you see the tablets take action and start fizzling up. And within minutes, you have this powerful and effective cleaning product in scents like rose bergamot and lily mint. In addition to the cleaning products, I've been using their dishwasher tabs, which come in this chic and compact refillable metal container without any plastic. So it definitely makes me feel a lot better about my impact on the environment in using these products. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you go to blueland.com/ABG. That's 15% off your order of any of the Blue Land products at blueland.com/ABG. blueland.com/ABG.
So those were some nice throwbacks to like different games and toys. What about like the clothes and the fashion trends? Were there any that you ladies like participated in that you still remember today? Maybe some that you were like, oh my God, I can't believe I wore or did that mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or maybe something you loved and you wish you could do now.
Yes. Fashion trends. This is what's coming back now, right?
Yeah.
In current day 2021. But I'm not sure if we're here yet. Bell bottoms were huge for me, literally. And I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but anytime I went to go buy pants, I would want my bell bottoms to be just the biggest it possibly could be. Like, I would stick the pant leg over my head to see if my head would fit in. And if it did, I would be like, okay, I would consider it and try it on. But if it didn't, I literally wouldn't even, like, take it off the rack to try on. But bell bottoms were huge.
Was it, like, the bigger the bell, the better?
Yes.
Oh.
For sure. Cargo pants were pretty big for me, too. Like, the capri cargo pants, which I don't know if that's ever going to come back, but that was a big one. Platform sandals or shoes. That was actually a 70s trend that reemerged in the 90s. So maybe it'll come back again. But I still remember knowing that platform sneakers were a trend while it was happening. Kind of like chunky sneakers right now, right? Mm. And I remember as much as I wanted to buy into that trend, I didn't want to spend money on it. So I only bought these black platform sandals, which were a lot cheaper. And they were kind of like foam. Not comfortable to walk in.
I think I had shoes like that.
Did you have shoes too? Yeah. And it's just like, now you think about it, it's not cute. It was never cute, but it was definitely trendy back then. And then lastly, I also wore a lot of flowery shirts, maybe because my Asian mama liked me in flowers and bright colors and bought clothes like that for me before I could like shop for myself. But it did fit into that theme of, you know, loud floral print of the 90s. Actually, yes. And one last one, low-rise jeans, which has not come back yet. But I think, as of 2021, we may be on the cusp of seeing it come back soon, which, not gonna lie, I'm, like, not excited for.
Yes. I was gonna ask, like, I know the whole, like, mom jeans and high-waisted, people kind of resisted that. But then now that it came, everyone's, like, embracing it. Do you think that we're gonna go back into low-rise?
I could see it. I could see it coming back. Like, I'm already seeing in some, like, music videos and things like that where you see the thong coming up. Like, the what's called the whale. The whale, right? Because it looks like a whale tail.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So I wouldn't be surprised if it did come back. What about for you ladies? Did any of those resonate?
I'm trying to remember what I wore back then. Like, I think one thing I'm noticing now that feels familiar to me is I think a lot of people are inspired by Princess Diana's looks. Like, Hailey Baldwin did, like, this, like, fashion spread where she kind of did, like, a modernized version of her looks. And I was like, damn, everyone's wearing that now.
Yeah.
Because Princess Diana was, like, a true fashion icon.
Yeah. I actually remember, like, back then thinking that she had the best fashion trend. Like, in the 90s as a kid, I was like, wow, she looks so put together, so classic. And it's funny because I feel like there was a period of time where without social media, it was just like whatever you saw on TV. And then after she passed, there was like not too much talk about her fashion. But now with social media and people dressing like her again, like it's come back. Her biker shorts, her like baggy sweatshirts, her blazers. Like everyone's like, oh, follow her fashion trend. It's so classic.
Like, for sure. I think so. I'm seeing that again. High-waisted mom jeans. Like, I think it came from the 70s or 80s too, but I have a lot of high-waisted jeans because of that. I'm seeing like throwbacks to certain brands, like Tommy Hilfiger as a guest, or like just kind of type of like type of vibe. And so when I bought my Tommy Hilfiger sweater, I'm like, I feel like, oh, I'm trendy. But I was like, wait, this is like so like throwback, right?
Yeah.
Again, baby tees and preppy look is for sure. And like very like clueless vibe, like
plaid is in.
Plaid, for sure. And I think looking back at styles back then, I would mimic whatever the Olsen twins were wearing. Like they were like my fashion icons growing up. So I don't know if this happened this year, but a few years ago, like colored lenses, sunglasses, like back then they would wear like orange lens, like very RDJ, like Robert Downey Jr. glasses and like Iron Man. And I bought a pair myself. Like, those are really cool. Or I saw people wearing the two more things, like Helena, you wear the paper boy hats. Paper, is it the newspaper boys?
Oh, okay. It kind of also looks kind of like an artist cap a little bit.
Yeah, like Britney wore it all the time on the red carpet.
Yeah.
So I saw a lot of people wearing that again instead of fedoras. So that they would wear that instead of fedoras. And then the last thing I saw come back recently was like the Prada bag that's like the off the shoulder, like on the the small shoulder bag that's kind of made of this like waterproof material. But it was so big like back in early 2000s, late 90s. But it's definitely, I'm seeing it everywhere on ASOS and all the fashion sites. But I had a mock version from the stores like at Charlotte Russe.
Charlotte Russe.
I think Charlotte Russe and Limited 2, and those are very classic like throwback stores. But they would always sell those type of bags.
I had one too. I had like a fake Prada from like China or something.
So you know what I'm saying? So those are the kind of things I feel like I was really into as a kid, and I'm seeing it, you know, come back now. But yeah, how about you, Jay?
I mean, it's interesting when you said Charlotte Russe and Limited too, because those two definitely, I feel like, scream 90s, early 2000s. But they're also really different. I feel like Limited 2 was a little bit more preppy, and then like Charlotte Russe was a little bit sexier, right? Yeah, and I remember like my girlfriends who were a little bit more like, I don't know, into like dressing up and doing their nails and like wearing purses. They shopped at Charlotte Russe a little bit more. I was a little bit more like Limited 2 and like a little bit more like the plaid trend that you called out with the Clueless, where you wear like a plaid shirt and underneath it's like a baby tee. Yeah. Do you guys remember that look? It's a little bit like preppy and like not super feminine. So I remember I have like a lot of school pictures rocking that type of outfit.
Wait, you wore Limited 2 too?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that was always, for me, it felt too young.
It was. Maybe because like when in the 90s, I was only like middle school. So everyone in my age generation went to Limited 2.
Yeah.
I think maybe a contrast to Charlotte Russe would be like Hollister, like that prep. Like Hollister polos were a huge thing in high school for me. Everyone had to like the thing was to own multiple colors. They had like five different colors.
Probably for me, because I was in high school I guess like 2 years older than you. But yeah, I think when people started dressing sexy, I was just like,
did you go to Anchor Bloom?
Okay. So you're a little late bloomer here.
But I think I was more a little bit more like, not preppy, but kind of like I would wear jeans, and then I would wear like, I went a little bit more like the Doc Martens and Mary Jane's nice, route.
So yeah. Did you have Anchor Blue?
I think it's a little bit more. Yeah, I was less like, I never really had dresses very much. I wore like Adidas shoes, a little bit more like casual tomboyish, little bit.
Okay, I see.
I think that was like my style. But something that I was like researching last night, I was like, oh, what are other things from the 90s? Mood rings.
Oh yeah,
you remember mood rings? I loved mood rings.
You would love mood rings,
right? I feel like I hope that is something that comes back. Mm. And I could see it totally coming back and maybe like altered slightly. Mm-hmm. But I remember getting those at like the book fairs all the time, or like the 25 cent machines. I loved shit like that.
Didn't your finger turn green? Mine totally did.
Yeah, it did. Because they're all... another thing... I remember when we first started this podcast, you guys used to joke about how I'd go out clubbing in turtlenecks. Or like sweaters and stuff. I feel like in the 90s and early 2000s, turtlenecks were more of a thing.
Yes.
And I used to wear them quite a bit. Yeah. And now I don't really, because you don't really, even during the winter times, it's like not really a big thing anymore. Mm. But that's kind of like, I miss that kind of like, whether it's comfortable, or also you could do like a darker and moody, like a simple black turtleneck is a style that I miss. Another thing, did either of you have pagers growing up?
That was right before my generation, yeah.
I didn't either, but yeah, I think I probably...
Like, I knew people who had pagers, who were adults. Yeah. Oh, adults had pagers.
Yeah. I think like my older cousins, like her friends, they had pagers, and I was just too young and also not tech like at all to ask for it. But that was something that I feel like is distinctly from the 90s.
I still don't understand how it works.
Some like you can it's like a text message, but only reserved to like a tiny screen is kind of how I see it.
But could you text on it?
You could text digital message. So that's why when people have like 413 means I miss you. So people come with code. So you can text like, I guess it's mostly just to be like to text or like to tag someone so they even know to call you.
Tap someone, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying not to age ourselves right now. Trying to like reverse the aging process.
I was like, I know what 143 means. 143.
I didn't know what 413 was. I miss you.
Oh, sorry. 143 is from Ray J's song.
Oh, yeah. 413 is I miss you. Oh, 143 is I love you. 143 is I love you. Okay, there we go. Wow.
I just got why it's 143. Because it's the letters in the word.
What? You didn't know that before?
Wait, what?
Never mind. Anyway, next topic.
Wait, I probably don't know either. I thought it was just random. What are you talking about?
143 is one. Like, I love has four letters and three has...
I did not know that either.
Was this like East Coast? Or now I'm curious. Do you all out there know what 143 means? Or where it comes from?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did any of you have the pencil thin brows? That was a huge thing in the 90s.
I still have those brows now. Like, to be honest, I don't think I could ever get bushy brows. It just doesn't grow there. I try. But, you know, I feel like when I was growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, I was very influenced by my older cousins who are like in high school, like your high school, and like they're definitely getting into makeup, and they would always, it was like the dark, it was like the thin eyebrows, and they would pencil their lips with like, yep, like a darker brown.
Yep.
It was a huge thing. I was like, oh, wow, what is that? And I would try it, and I looked freaking weird.
Yeah, yeah. I would say same for me. I saw the trend, and I knew it was a thing, but it did not work for me.
Yeah.
And I think I was always too... Actually, when I first started plucking, I shaved my eyebrows, so I think I was like... Yeah.
Oh, just like underneath it, right?
Yeah, underneath it or on top of it. And that, because I didn't know how to pluck or no one taught me and there was no YouTube to watch. So I think I shaved a little bit. But I don't think I ever shaved it to be like pencil thin or was like influenced too much by people who had pencil thin brows.
I didn't start plucking my eyebrows until maybe like college or after. And I have really thick brows, so I never could get on that trend. But when I did start plucking, some of my photos from like when I first started, they were super thin and they look scary. But during the 90s and 2000s, I did play with makeup and I did love that like darker, like I would never really wear it to school, but like at maybe on the weekends or like with my friends, I would do the darker lip. And then usually what you do is you go over it with like a very light, like Coke, like a sparkly nude lip gloss. So you have the darker line and then the lip gloss. That's a memory.
Dang, I totally missed the makeup trends from back then. Like smackers, like lip smackers.
Oh yes.
And but I think lip gloss is a huge thing in the 90s.
That's true.
Right?
Lip gloss.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I feel like we go on and on about the 90s. There's just so many things to cover. And I feel like just walking down memory lane, I kind of want to go deeper. Like there's so many things like from makeups to AIM that we haven't covered in this episode. But it was really nice to kind of walk through the different like shows and movies and fashion trends back in the day.
For sure. If you resonated with today's episode, if you are also a 90s baby, 90s kid, let us know what other trends you might be seeing that might be making a comeback. Let us know in the comments of our latest IG post.
And we want to give a quick shout out and a thank you to all of you who have been supporting us through Anchor donations. We recently switched platforms to another platform and it kind of reset our Anchor donation. So if you would like to continue supporting us, you can go ahead and look for the link in our show notes. And we always love and appreciate you guys. So thank you so much for doing that.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/asianbossgirl/support or get some merch at asianbossgirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonated with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. And if you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube, where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called Dear ABG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is @asianbossgirl.
We have a couple of shout-outs for today's episode. Victoria in Chicago wants to tell Melissa that she misses you a ton and hopes you can hang out soon. Asha in Brunei is sending a shout-out to herself and letting us know that she really enjoys listening to our podcast because it cheers her up. Ah, thanks, Asha. Grace in St. Gabriel, SGV, wants to let Jennifer know that she is so grateful for your friendship throughout these years and is looking forward to more road trips and ABG time. Yes. Rena is sending a shout out to her older sister, Jennifer, in Vancouver. Listening to ABG together has become one of her favorite pastimes. She loves you, Jen. Geeta in Nepal, who is a 17-year-old listener, hi Geeta, wants to let her crackheads and digs, I think that's her nickname for her friends, know that you all will have a memorable get-together soon and reunite in your 20s. Oh, to be in your 20s again. She is sending loads of love to Mel, Helen, and myself. She freaking loves our podcast and tells us to don't stop and keep growing. Thanks, Geeta, you too. And finally, Steph in LA wants to let Nish know that she misses you. Long-distance relationships aren't easy, but you make it all worth it. If you'd like to send a shout-out to a friend, check out our link tree and our link in bio on Instagram and click on shout-outs, or go to the description for this episode.
And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
And we'll catch you all on the next episode.
Bye! Bye.